Acts 19. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, and remember who Apollos is. Apollos is a preacher, and he's out there, you know, making a difference. So what's missing for Apollos? What is it that he doesn't have? He's just not, he hasn't heard the rest of the story, right? He only had the early ministry of John the Baptist, and the people that are with him, they were baptized under the baptism of John the Baptist. At least that's what he indicates, the baptism of John. And so it brings us to the subject of authority for baptism. And who has the authority to baptize? Well, God gave John the authority to baptize. And then we see Jesus giving that authority to the church to baptize. So we can't just go out here and dunk people and baptize them. It's church authority. And that's the indication here, is that we had a bunch of people who were believers and they had been dipped in water. But we're going to read here that that was not meeting their need. It was insufficient. It says, having passed through the upper coast, Paul came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, again, that means that they're students in the study of Scripture. Verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So they're just missing some information. What happened when they accepted Christ as their Savior? God put his divine presence inside of them, the Spirit of God. When we pray and ask God's forgiveness, the Lord comes to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit and dwells within us. But they said, we didn't even know that. I remember, you know, through my childhood, as I learned things, I thought, well, I didn't know that when I got baptized. Do I need to get baptized again? Well, I didn't know. You know, we want to have all the information right up front. It doesn't work that way. Christianity is growth. It's a journey. It's a process. We get saved and automatically our name's written in the book of life and we're going to heaven. Automatically our sins are washed away. But we've got a lot of growing to do. And so we've got to, you know, just settle in and learn and study the Bible and pay attention and we'll grow. They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Were they saved? Yes. People will argue, well, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, then you can't be saved. I missed the part where it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his virgin birth and you shall be saved. It's not in there. Now, there are a lot of things that we know from Scripture and from studying and we believe by our faith and the presence of the Holy Spirit, a lot of things that we know, but they didn't make us saved. They don't qualify us for salvation. To be qualified for salvation, here's what you need to know. You're a sinner, separated from God. And God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we put our faith in Jesus. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we pray and ask God's forgiveness. We confess our sin. He washes our sins away, and we're saved. And we're ignorant. Maybe not the case. Maybe you're like I am. Grew up in church, went to church every service. Just didn't get saved. And then finally got saved and it all started to make more sense. So, but just give yourself time to grow and to learn. How many of you can name all 12 apostles? No. Oh, you got one? One taker. Be careful with them because I'll tell you the truth. Even if I go, I'll name one twice or, you know, miss them somewhere along the way, or the tribes of Israel. Guys, that's okay. We don't have to memorize all the stuff in the Bible. We can read the Bible. So they were saved, but they were ignorant. They're just something they didn't know. It's not a criticism. It's just a statement. Brother John. Do you have the Holy Ghost? And I believe the reason comes back to Apollos, is that Paul identified in Apollos that something was missing. And though they had the presence, they didn't have the power. And so that, I mean, it's a great point why he even asked that question. In verse number 3, he said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. Well, what was that? Baptism of repentance with water. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they got a baptism because their other baptism was insufficient. And they got a baptism in the name of the Lord, not under John. See, here are people who are sincere in their desire to know God. They're sincere in their desire to walk with God. They're assembling, they're praying, they're ministering, but there's something missing. And Paul comes along and he begins to ask questions. And he gets to that and here's the thing, what might they have done if they had been one of us? Well, I'm already baptized. I ain't getting baptized again. Who do you think you are telling me my baptism is no good? Right? Y'all ever run into that? I do. Because people say, well, I've already been baptized. I had a friend, he's in heaven now, but he said, if I felt convicted that God wanted me to join a church, which is the only reason you should join a church, and that church said the only way you can join the church is if you climb up and fly off the building, I'd try it. Now, I guarantee you, gravity would take over. And you would not fly. But the point being, if I feel that God is leading me to be part of a congregation, an assembly, then I would do what it took to get there. Yes. Yeah, it's not a criticism, right? You just don't know it. And that's what happens is people get offended and get their feelings hurt when somebody exposes a point of knowledge that they're missing. But it's, you know, we come to church to learn, to grow. Yes, to be inspired, to be challenged, but to learn. And so if we're reading the Bible and teaching and talking and having a discussion, that's a great thing about Sunday school. And we come across something you don't agree with, and you say, well, I don't really want to bring it up in Sunday school, you can call me later, and we can talk about it. And you can tell me I'm wrong, and we can talk about it. That's fine. But don't just get mad. You say, well, they're saying I don't know any better. Well, Brother Terry said something that to me was profound. He said, I didn't even know my name until somebody told me what it was. Guys, that's where we are. We got to learn. We got to grow. We need teachers, helpers. So they were powerless, but they were sincere. And when they heard this, verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. I mean, it wasn't a big group, but it was a good start, wasn't it? And again, this laying on of the hands, this example of the Holy Spirit, the ordination or the anointing coming on somebody, who do we see do that? We see the apostles do that. We also see the deacons, these original deacons doing that. So there's no doubt that there was power now on this church, on these 12 people. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Now, that's the longest sermon I've ever heard of. Of course, it wasn't all at once. 3 months. Disputing and persuading. Now, go back over to chapter 18 and look at verse 4. Reasoned and persuaded. A little different environment, isn't it? There are some people, you know, Jude says it this way. Oh, let me look at it. I don't want to misquote it. Jude says, of some, have compassion, making a difference. There are some people that if you tell them that the God of heaven sent his only begotten Son who lived a perfect life without sin and was crucified on the cross and his blood was shed to forgive your sin and wash it all away, and God loves you that much, that's going to win some people, isn't it? It's not going to win everybody. Look at the next verse. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Hey, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. If you don't get saved, there's eternal flames. Eternal, everlasting, long time. You'll be separated from God forever. Not only will you be separated from God, but you'll be miserable for eternity. And so some, it's the fear. Some, it's the love. There are different methods, different places. But it's the same message. And that is ultimately that we all need Jesus. And so he was disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, or a lot of people were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, they believed not, but spake evil of that way. And you're going to see that term, that way, used throughout. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So this was a big thing. People were learning. What is something that could compare to that today? The spreading of the knowledge. Anything? How about digital currency? Right? I mean, have y'all heard of digital currency? You heard of the idea that cashless society? I don't mean what we read in the Bible. I mean, have you heard about it in local, recent news? So we've all heard about that, right? What about artificial intelligence? The conversation, I see a lot of people go, oh, yeah, right? The idea, just intelligence would be nice, wouldn't it? The artificial intelligence and the warnings now that it's out of control and the computers are going to take over. How many of you heard that in the last week or two? All right, so that news is spreading in much the same way that this happened here. But this happened over the course of 2 years. And really, when you go back further than that, but over the course of 2 years, it went all through the town. And here we are in a reflection of that church at Ephesus. And how are we spreading the news? Well, we're talking about digital currency and artificial intelligence instead of talking about Jesus. But the news is spreading. What you talk about is what's going to spread. It's what we're enthusiastic about and excited about. That's what people are going to remember. And that's what they're going to take away. Verse 11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Did you notice that word in there? Anybody? Special miracles. Miracles are special enough, aren't they? But the idea, first of all, the idea of miracles in the Bible, we have to understand that means that it was unnatural, supernatural. It's not something that's ordinary or expected. It's not something that can be explained by science and medicine. But it's something that's beyond that. And then you have the term special miracles. So in other words, God took it to another level with Paul. In what manner? Because up to this point, just as we saw in the previous verses, Paul laid hands. Remember with Peter, it said that they were lining the streets. Why? Hoping just to be in the shadow when he walked by. Hoping to be in Peter's shadow as he walked down the street. Now, it doesn't say that anybody got healed by shadow, but they were just wanted to be that close. They wanted to be in his presence. And they were hoping to be healed. But here, verse 12, from his body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons to the disease. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So they would, you know, Paul would touch a handkerchief. I don't even have one. How about that? He would just touch a handkerchief. And so you'll see, if you watch these shows on television or you catch one of them, there are preachers today that'll sell you one of those miracle handkerchiefs, you know. They'll mail them to you if you send $10, your best offering. But you know, they'll sell you all kind, anything you can think of. They'll sell it to you, or they'll give it to you for an appropriate donation. A paper handkerchief. It was a special miracle handkerchief. That's why it was paper. But that's the kind of stuff. Look, it came from the Bible, but understand what the Bible said. The Bible said that was a special situation. Bible doesn't say that's how it does. It says that was special. And we see there's something significant about that. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, which just means they're not settled, they're wanderers, and they were exorcists, they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. So they just decided, well, if it's working for Paul, it'll work for us. And they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They're not even saved. But they're in that practice of whatever works. And that to me is one of the worst mentalities that we could have as Christians. I remember being in the hospital and talking to somebody, and she was telling me, I've got, you know, Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and all these praying for me. Because she says, I figure it can't hurt. Hey, do we believe what the Bible says? There is one God. If we believe there's one God, then we've got to be able to see that all these other religions are not reaching to that one God. And that's, we have to be mindful of that. We have to not buy into the idea of, well, you know, maybe it'll work. These Jews say, well, maybe this Jesus stuff will work. So here's what they did. Verse 14, there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, verse 15, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I mean, this was one of those Chuck Norris moments, right? 1 verse 7. And he whooped them, didn't he? That it was, and what do, how do we see that today? Mary Lee, do we see that today? What do we see? And it's drugs, the Molly, you know, no point naming a bunch of them, but that the drugs that they are taking make them superhuman. I went to a guy one time, and he was laying down. And I come up and I was going to help him. And then he rolled over and got up on his feet. And I went around the car backing away from him. And then he was, ended up back on the ground again. And my friend came and said, hey, are you okay? And the guy got over on all fours and started chasing him on all fours. And he put out a sprint. I'm telling you that when they are under the influence of these drugs, they are superhuman. And the taser doesn't matter. You know, bullets, and that's not my business, but bullets doesn't stop them. They're superhuman strength, and they're out of their minds. And that's exactly what we're looking at here. And so when you talk about demon possession, the problem of drugs today is a spiritual problem. People use the drugs to try to meet a need that's not being satisfied because they don't have Jesus. And there are, and I say this, and I've said this several times, is the most powerful thing that can happen to you is to get saved. And if somebody is an addict and they get Jesus, Jesus can fill that need so that the addiction can subside. But when someone starts on these addictions after they're saved, there is no high left for them to reach. And that's why they just keep pursuing a greater high. But we see this today. And you've probably seen it if you watch any of those shows on TV that document this stuff. There's superhuman strength with these drugs. And it's a spiritual problem. Verse 17. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all them, and the name of Lord Jesus was magnified. So the cluelessness of these seven sons of Sceva actually promoted and progressed the gospel. Because when that devil jumped on them and beat them up for trying to be, you know, half-hearted believers, we'll use Jesus if that's what works. And they got beat up by that man that was demon-possessed. That got out. And the name of the Lord was magnified. Verse 18, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They proved it. They wanted to show evidence that they were saved. Verse 19, many of them which used curious arts. What is curious art? Magic. They brought their books together and burned them before all men. So the Bible promotes book burning? Some books, right? What's the biggest difference here in what we oppose today? Do we oppose book burning? It depends, right? Depends on the book. I would say I oppose book burning, but the difference here is it was their books. They burned their own books. They weren't burning somebody else's books. They were burning their own books. I would not only say book burning, but CD burning and all that tape burning. Burn it. But, again, it was their own. A lot of them. Yes. I'll show you. There's a book. Well, it's a good question. Here's this question. Are there words in the Bible that meant something different in that day? And the answer is yes. And if you get a concordance, there's three different major concordances for the Bible, right? Young's concordance, who's that for? It's for the young. All right, Strong's concordance, and that's for the strong. And the Cruden's Concordance, and that's for the crude. That's what we say. But and that's just, you know, that's kind of humor. But if you get a concordance, and it will relate those words. But for the most part, we're able to extrapolate the meaning from the context. Yes. And that's the difference, Brother Don. That when Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? He dug deep, and then the foolish man built his house on the sand. He just built it there. And that's part of that digging deep is getting into the meaning. You know, with the curious arts, is that the term you're talking about in particular? The curious art, I don't know that I necessarily would have drawn the conclusion of magic with curious art. So that's a good point. Curious art. But they, but what we see today is what? New age, right? All that kind of stuff. I think a book burning would be wonderful, but your books. Right? It still does, right? Still does in some circles. But when you talk about burning books, these are people who, when they got saved, they went back to their homes and they got their stuff out of their home that shouldn't be in there. That's what we all should do. And get the stuff out of our homes that doesn't belong there. And so they burned them up and... Look at what it says in verse number 19. And the price of all that was burned up was 50,000 pieces of silver. So that was a major conversion. Go ahead, take over. Uh-huh.
the beating them up and all of that too, but just to have an evil spirit, I mean, that's like Amityville force. That is scary. I think I would get rid of everything too, and I think these people were so scared.
Yes, I agree. And so having that demonic spirit speak to them, that's one of the things I believe today is staying under the surface. There's a lot of demonic work today, but we're covering it up with, and we are calling it the drugs. We're saying, you know, we're seeing it as the drugs, but it's a spiritual problem. Yes. Look at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar gave praise to himself and said, look at what I've done. And God said, I'm done with you, and took him out of his mind, right? And he went out and he was homeless in the streets, living in the woods, eating off the land. His hair grew out and his nails grew out. And he was, you know, what we would see as a street person or homeless. But then what happened? It broke. He came back to his right mind. It broke. What was it? It was a spiritual problem. It wasn't just a mental problem. It was a spiritual problem. So, yes, there's a lot of that existing today. And it's under the surface. And in a lot of these courses and classes and teachings that I'm involved in, you know, we've been trying to address the drug problem, and we're trying to address the alcohol problem, and we're trying to address the suicide problem and the depression and the mental breakdowns. And guess what? All the stuff we've tried hasn't worked. And now over the last couple of years, you know what they've started doing? Well, I say a couple, probably 5 or 10 at this point. They said, maybe we ought to start addressing the spiritual aspect. Maybe we ought to bring God back into it. And of course, what happened? Oh no, you can't do that. You can't bring God into it because my God's different than your God. And I was in a meeting with, it was a nationwide meeting, and I said, that's the problem. Is you all say you want to address it, but you won't address the primary issue, which is there is one God and one Lord and one Savior. But as long as we keep dancing around trying to save everybody's feelings and accept whatever religion they got, it's not going to work. And of course, that made me very popular. It didn't. Because we need to say, guys, it's not religion. Religion's not going to solve the problem. Religion's doing the same thing that everybody else is trying to do and treat the symptoms. We need Jesus. Jesus will solve the problem. God the Father will solve the problem. Prayer will solve the problem. Bible study will solve the problem. It all works together. And I've experienced the things that, you know, others, you know, the PTSD, of course, there's the short-term stuff. But I have experienced the debilitation and the breakdown that comes with that. And I can tell you, that there was a season of healing that was necessary for me to get through that. And every time I tried to reach out to talk to somebody, nobody was available. I had one source of my hope and my recovery, and that was the Lord. And so I can tell you that's how it's fixed. It's not by just sitting around a table talking about it. Nothing wrong with that. But we've got to have the Lord. So, mightily grew the word of God, and it prevailed. After these things, verse 21, Paul was purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia, Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, I have been there, I must also see, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he went to Macedonia, sent to Macedonia, two of them that ministered to him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. The same time there arose no small stir, here it is again, about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain to the craftsmen, called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know, by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." So, what would we compare that with today? The economy. It's the economy, stupid, right? I think we heard that. It's the economy. And that's how people vote, and that's how people are moved. That's what... There are businesses that are shut down and losing because of their politics. Because people vote with their money. Chick-fil-A went through this. You remember? They tried to call for a boycott of Chick-fil-A and the line got longer. Because God's people said, you know what? You stand against them, we're going to stand with them. Because they wouldn't back down to what now we call the woke group, woke politics. And they, Chick-fil-A didn't back down. And they're not hurting at all. But you see these corporations that did back down and caved and buckled, NASCAR, hockey, you know, some of the big ones, the NFL. I'm going to tell you, they lost a lot of money. And they'll call me and say, "Do you want the NFL? Nope. Will we give it to you for free this year? Nope. I don't want NFL on my channels. I don't want it on there. Don't put it on. Don't give it to me for free. I have nothing to do with it." Why? I said, wokeness. I said, "I'll watch college ball, but I'm not watching NFL till they get right." And what happened? You see, they changed because I wasn't by myself. But money is what persuades them. Here, now let me ask you this. What would happen if Christians stopped using alcohol? You talk about drying up. If Christians, let's get right down to it. What if Christians didn't have abortions? You say, "Well, Pastor, are you telling me?" Yeah, I am. If the Christians would stop doing what Christians shouldn't do, it would shut down all the godless businesses in this country. But the problem is that we're getting to a point now where the Christian sector is no longer going to have the financial influence in this country that we used to because of the godlessness and the worldliness that's out there. So yeah, if Christians would stop doing the stuff we shouldn't be doing, this place wouldn't even be open for the godless people to do it. And I know that's not popular, but that's reality. So they got mad and they say, "Oh, well, Paul's getting people saved. They won't buy our stuff anymore. They won't buy our gods and our idols, and they won't go to temple anymore of Diana, the goddess of Ephesus. And so we got to put a stop to that. It's costing us money." Verse 28, "When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.' And the whole city was filled with confusion. They having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater." Verse 30, "When Paul would have entered into the temple, in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent to him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater." They said, "Paul, don't go in there. You're going to get hurt if you go in there." But notice what it says in verse 32. "Some cried one thing, some another. The assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together." They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know why they were there. They just said, "Hey, something's happening. Let's go see what's happening." Because people were getting saved, and so the worldly economy was affected. Worldly commerce. That's what will happen when people get saved and get converted and get right. Worldly commerce will suffer. And they'll either adapt or go out of business. Like the Disney Corporation. What's going on there? By the way, look back at their historical movies and you will see the common Christian theme. It wasn't, you know, Jesus, 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 but there was a right and wrong and a moral outcome in all of their movies until it turned the page and became more or less demonic. Antichrist. And that's where we are. And the same thing there. If God's people will take a stand, they'll either turn or they'll go broke. That's right. Walk away from God and suffer the consequences. Any comments, questions, criticism, concerns? John. But did they have the baptism from John or the baptism of John? Somebody say that over there? Is that what somebody was saying? In other words, I don't know that it was necessarily John the Baptist that baptized them, but just in the like manner of John the Baptist, the baptism of... Yeah. Well, the 12 apostles... By the way, you cannot... You look at the apostles that were students or disciples of John the Baptist, okay, which was not all of them, but some of them. The major difference between their baptism from John is that then Jesus gave them the authority, the power to do those church things. And then, in fact, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And then, of course, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on all those that were assembled. And then we see, of course, Peter as he extended it to the house of Cornelius, which were Gentiles. Again, they were baptized. They actually, remember the significance there, they received the Holy Ghost and the speaking in tongues even before they were baptized. Okay? And then this group, they've got a church, an assembly, they're having church, and they've got a baptism, and Apollos is their teacher, but remember Apollos, he doesn't have the rest of the story. Like, he got excited and started going out ministering before the finality of salvation, you know, all of the Jesus stuff. And so he's out there preaching a message, but he doesn't have the whole message. So this group that he's leading, you know, they just, nothing's happening. And then Paul asked a question about their baptism and about the Holy Ghost. And so they were baptized again. And he laid hands on them and they got the Holy Ghost. So, you know, there are distinctions and it's hard to be hardcore on some of these issues because there are differences even in the Bible of the patterns. Anyway, good discussion. Sister Charlotte. Well, the biggest problem with what they're teaching now is they're trying to bring emotions into it, right? Maybe that doesn't make sense to anybody, but we don't need the emotions, we just need the facts. Situational ethics. The whole system's broken. The world system's broken. Let's take a break.